Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فَأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. My dear respected viewers of Mother Nation, welcome you in our program, Al-Mustafa, the Chosen One. Alhamdulillah, in this program we talk about the seerah of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Today we'll be talking about ibadat of Mustafa. Today we'll be talking about worship of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Inshallah, there is so much to learn today for all of us. So try to sit down in front of your TV screen, ask your family members to come and sit, listen with utmost concentration, focus, and learn inshallah. There is so much to gain from this program today. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, before we proceed towards our topic of the day, let's make few good intentions. Because my Shaykh Tariqat, Amir of Ahlul Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, he gives us a beautiful mindset that we should not forget to make good intentions before we perform any permissible task or any good deed we do. I'm presenting this program for the pleasure of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, to spread knowledge of Deen Islam, and you are here to watch and learn something from this beautiful religion liked by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, that is Deen Islam. So we can all make good intentions. I make this intention that I will present this program for the pleasure of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. You can make this intention, you will listen from start till end, you remember what you learn, act upon, and pass this knowledge on to others too. Respected viewers, today, as I mentioned, today inshallah we'll be talking about worship of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the best of creation ever walked on the face of the earth. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam's each and every act is the best. And definitely when it comes to do ibadah, when it comes to worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then definitely the forms of worship, the way of worshipping Allah tabarak wa ta'ala of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is also the best. Actually, he taught us how to perform worship of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Respective viewers of Madani Channel, other Anbiya Kiram alayhim salam, other Prophets alayhim salam, when they worshipped Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, most of the way they worshipped Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, we do not have their records. But subhanallah, we thank to Sahaba Kiram alayhim ridwan. Why? Because they preserved each and every detail which is regarding the life and legacy of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam. They recorded each and every bit of the life of Mustafa, different dimensions of the life of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam. And subhanallah, today we can know what is even the worship of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Subhanallah, Sahaba ikram alayhim ridwan, they recorded the apparent worship of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, whereas azwaj-e mutahharat, whereas blessed wives of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, they recorded the details of the worship which were performed when Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was present at home and he would do worship of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This is what we're going to talk about today, inshallah. We've got our brother Wasim Abbas with us. Let's go towards him and start this topic and be with us from start till end too. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, let's go to Wasim bhai. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
Once again, welcome you. Marhaba, mashallah. And thank you for joining us. Wasim Abbas bhai, as in the intro, I just mentioned that we have got each and every detail of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and it is the sadaqah, virtue of Sahaba ikram alayhim ridwan, that they alhamdulillah recorded, and today we have got them with us, and alhamdulillah we have got each and everything before us. We can learn, read, and act upon. As we're talking about worship of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim, how would you start with? It's up to you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As alhamdulillah, we're talking about the acts of worship of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the way the blessed companions alayhi wa recorded them and of course imparted that them ahead to the ummah. There, of course, those worships, those acts of worship that are fard upon us, and then are those that are optional. And the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he is the best of the creations. He is the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The amount, the extent of his worship, the amount of his worship and the way he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is unmatchable, that is unmatched. And the traditions that have come to us, those narrations that have come to us, is of course through the actions of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which was primarily for our teaching as well, that how should you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what are you bound by. So alhamdulillah, when we talk about the worships of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the foremost worship, and which is also an obligatory act for all the Muslims, Salah, offering prayer 5 times a day, that is fard upon us. And the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, how he worshipped, how he offered Salah, that has been recorded by the blessed companions alhamdulillah, and it has been transmitted to us through chains of ahadith, through chains of traditions. And it is the beauty of Islam, the beauty of the actions of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that the way his actions, the way his sayings, the way his blessed habits have been transmitted to us, you don't find such example in the history of the mankind, and never you ever will in future as well. So when we talk about Salah, offering prayer 5 times a day is fard upon us, let's first of all come to know that how many prayers did the Holy Prophet ﷺ offer? How many salahs did he offer in his apparent lifetime? So it is stated that after the night of ascension, after the night of Mi'raj, the Holy Prophet ﷺ lived in this world apparently for approximately 11 and a half years. And within these 11 and a half years, he ﷺ offered around 20,000 salahs, around 500 Jum'ahs, and around 9 Eid prayers, Masha. Eid Salahs. So this is alhamdulillah the record that ulama have mentioned regarding the Salahs that the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has offered after those the gift of Salah was given to the Ummah of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam through the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And Rizanvi, as we're talking about this act of worship of Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we need to understand at the same time is that not only is this fard upon us, but this is also a gift, a present to the Ummah of Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Imam Ahl Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah, he's mentioned that the 5 times daily prayer is that great ni'mah, blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He Almighty bestowed upon us for the sake of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which was not given to any other Ummah before us. So we are that fortunate Ummah who has been given the gift of Salah, the gift of prayer. And if we look at it, if you look at Salah, all the actions that we perform in Salah, Qiyam, Sujood, Ruku, Tashahud, etc., different angels, they perform different acts which are present within Salah. Some angels are in the state of Qiyam, some are in the state of Sujood, some in Ruku, some in Tashahud, so on and so forth. And we are that fortunate Ummah who has been given all these acts of worship collectively together within Salah. And no other Ummah before us was blessed with this honor, with this privilege. So Salah is that worship which is the coolness of the eyes of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, something that differentiates between a believer and a non-believer.
See, Basmi, mashallah, beautiful start. I would like to just bring your attention towards, especially to the viewers' attention, that when we talk about the worship of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, even before the announcement of prophethood, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam used to go to Ghari Hira, cave of Hira. And there Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam used to perform worship of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, in a sense that he would ponder, he would contemplate, right? This was a kind of you see worship that he would go there and he would perform. And when even before Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam went for Mi'raj and he got the gift of Salah from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for the Ummah, even before Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had been taught the method of Salah. This is what is written by ulama. And to understand this, we can just remember the account of Mi'raj when Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam went from Makkatul Mukarrama to Masjid al-Aqsa. And in Masjid al-Aqsa, all the prophets alayhi wasallam, they were already present there. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And they were waiting. And Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam when came. So who led the prayer? Alhamdulillah, I think those they have got little knowledge of Deen Islam, they know that that was the point when Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had led the salah. Now the question comes, salah had become fard after going to Mi'raj, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with all the prophets is offering salah before even it has become fard. And not only offering salah, rather leading salah. He became Imamul Anbiya. He offered salah even before he got the gift from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So that means Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was already taught the method of salah. And subhanallah, that's why he led the prayer. And that's the reason one of the titles of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is known to be Imamul Anbiya.
Subhanallah.
Leader, the Imam of all the prophets alayhi wa sallam. So this is what we understand. And when we talk about the worship of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, as you mentioned, subhanallah, that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam performed that many jum'ahs, that many salahs in his apparent lifetime. But ulama have mentioned that especially the love for salah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was such that not only five salah which was fard upon the ummah, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam did not even miss salatul tahajjud, right? And he also asked the ummah to opt for the optional prayers also, volunteer prayers. What would you say and what message would you like to give when we hear about the salah Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam performed, the way he would wake up all night and he would do ibadah? And subhanallah, what message is there for us?
Subhanallah, it's amazing, this one. I mean, when we hear the accounts of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much he loved the ummah, that even at the journey of Mi'raj, what did he ask for? Just for this ummah. His question in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was for this ummah. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought the gift of salah for us. Now, he alayhi salatu wasalam would strive extensively in offering salah, in offering optional salah, so and so forth. And unfortunately, our state nowadays is that it is very difficult for us to even offer five times the five fard salah in a day, which hardly takes less than an hour collectively if you think about it. Now, what excuse do we have for not offering those fard salahs? What is it? Apart from laziness and not having the mindset to offering salah, what else reason are we going to present? And then what we need to contemplate is that, is this reason sufficient enough for us to survive in the hereafter? Is this reason sufficient, good enough for us to attain salvation in the hereafter? When the first question, the one whose salah is fine in the hereafter, the other matters will also be fine for him. And the one whose salah is not fine in the hereafter, he will be stuck in other matters as well. And the actions in salah, such as the state of sajda, is such a beloved action that in a hadith of Muslim Sharif, it is stated that a person in the state of prostration is very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
Extremely close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why you should make dua in abundance in the state of sajda.
Subhanallah.
So this worship, just salah, when we talk about it, it is absolute a gift for us. This is absolute a bounty for us, a blessing for us. And those unfortunate people who, ma'azallah, abandon salah, who do not offer salah, they need to ponder upon themselves. Because leaving salah makes one face destruction in this world and in the hereafter. The one who misses salah, his name will be written on the door of the hell through which he will enter hell, ma'azallah. And there are many other admonitions and warnings against those who do not offer salah.
MashaAllah. Beautiful message. Respect viewers of Khadr Nishal. We pause here because we've got one segment, inshallah. We'll come back and continue this topic. Let's go towards our segment, The Chosen Sunnah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Respected viewers of Madani Shal, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would walk quickly, leaning forward slightly as though he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is walking downhill. So this was the dignified walk of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So we also learn that whenever we walk, we should also follow this beautiful sunnah of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallam. Respect viewers, we bring these beautiful segments so that we can learn, so that we can also adopt these beautiful prophetic ways, and we can also implement in our life. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that whatever we learn, we also act upon, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal. Wasima Mazbi, you were talking about the ibadat, you were talking about the worship of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned in the books that sometimes 2/3 of the night, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would remain awake doing worship of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Sometimes the half of the night would pass in worshipping Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and then he would rest a little bit in the rest of the night. This was the subhanallah awakening of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in the remembrance of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, worship of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, subhanallah. And in the night it is mentioned when Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would offer salah. What we are talking about, the importance you mentioned about the namaz, about salah, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would offer salah in the night, and he would recite long surahs of Quran. He would do ruku and sujood, right? In long, subhanallah, long ruku and long sujood, Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would perform. And in tahajjud salah, in the night when Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would perform, sometimes he would perform 6 units. Sometimes Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would perform 8 units. Sometimes 12 units. And this is also proven from the life of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes less, sometimes more. And it is also written that in the last part of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam's life, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would offer some rak'at while standing and some while sitting. And Aqa alayhi salatu wa salam, especially whenever Ramadan al-Kareem would arrive, then the worship, the level of worship of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would go next level. And all night it is written, Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would remain in worshipping Allah tabarak wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. And this is mentioned that, subhanallah, he would ask others to get up for salah. He would wake up others for salah. And it is mentioned that sometimes in sujood, sometimes in sajda, Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, while prostrating Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, would shed tears and would cry in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Wasim bhai, I would like to ask you, the one who is beloved of Allah, the one who is forgiven, what can we say who is forgiven? Because of whom we are all forgiven, inshallah. We'll all be sorted, inshallah, azza wa jal. The one, subhanallah, who is ma'asoom, the one who does not commit any sin. Zat of Mustafa, who is beloved of Allah, for the sake of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ummah will go to Jannah. Right? But subhanallah, the level of fear he possesses, the level of worshipping of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, we are learning from the Zat of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Is not this enough for us to learn some lesson? Is not this enough for us that subhanAllah, where do we stand? We are nothing. We have got no ibadah whatsoever. Indeed. But this is the Zat of Mustafa who is beloved of Allah, but yet he is worshipping all night, half of the night, two-thirds of the night in sujood, in qiyam, in qiraat of Quran. But we are negligent, even we, it is hard for us to get up for Salatul Fajr.
It's what again, Rizwanvi, this materialistic mindset, unfortunately, because of our iman has gone weak. The person whose iman is strong, is firm, how can he even think about missing his salah? The people with strong iman, they've got this mindset that I can survive without breathing, I can survive without eating and drinking, but how can I live without salah? It is beyond us. The importance of salah, if we understand it, it is beyond the acceptability of our minds that how can we live without salah? This is absolutely, there's no question about this. Without breathing, I can survive. Without food, I can survive. But without salah, there's no option whatsoever that I can survive. So the more stronger iman we have, the more stronger mindset we will develop for offering salah. Unfortunately, this is one reason why we don't have possessed the same mindset of offering salah. And then Rizwanvi, the problem is that because of this materialistic mindset, what we've become nowadays is we value everything on tangible basis. If we see the benefit of something in front of us, if we see the return, tangible return in front of us, then we are sort of a bit more inclined towards that action. Now, let's ask one question. If I was told that per salah, per day, I'll be paid £1,000 a day. Five salahs, £5,000 a day, not a bad deal. You know, I don't need to do anything else. Half an hour, 1 hour, £5,000 a day, not a bad deal. Now, I'll ask you a question. That how many people will you see who wouldn't be offering salah? In fact, out of 30 days, one day, if a person misses his five salahs, he'll be regretting that, oh, why did I miss my 5 days, one day salah? I missed £5,000 today, throughout the month for one day. Now, all of a sudden, the importance of salah will be there because we will be valuing it, measuring it against that £5,000 a day. But over here, the glad tiding of entering into paradise is given. Over here, the admonition of going to hell is given.
There's no comparison with this.
There's no comparison with the perishing wealth of this world. Now, this is the problem. We don't have the importance, the same level of importance for the hereafter that we give to this dunya. This is that materialistic mindset. As the father of Allah, Hazrat Maulana Naqi Ali Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala, beautifully, he points out, to make us realize, make us understand, he says that the one who misses salah without any reason and without having shame for the Prophet and Allah Almighty, what will happen on the Day of Judgment, in exchange of one salah, if he wants to give everything in this world and this world collectively altogether, still it will not be accepted. And if he cries for 1,000 years non-stop for missing one salah, still he will not attain salvation. So we come to know in the light of all these narrations that salah is the key to salvation. Without salah, there is no success in this world or in the hereafter. And the person who doesn't offer his salah, none of his actions are accepted. His dua is not accepted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with him. So what else do we need to develop a mindset to be offering our salah? After all these narrations, all these glad tidings, and all these admonitions for missing salah, if still I don't develop a mindset to be offering my salah, then what exactly will make me offer salah then? This is what we need to understand, and we need to strengthen our faith. We need to have the yearning to attain paradise, and we need to be eager to save ourselves from the hellfire. And key to all these things lie in offering salah.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Respect to viewers of Madani Channel, the message is that we are learning from the Zat of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, personality of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who would remain awake sometimes all night, sometimes half the night, sometimes two-thirds of the night, and he would stand in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He would perform worship of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He would recite Quran, and in Ramadan Kareem, Sayyidina Jibreel Amin alayhi salam would come, and Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam would revise Quran, would do qiraat of Quran. This was the practice of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. How much do we recite Quran in the night? How much do we offer salah? How many salah do we offer daily basis? This is the question. That's the reason we are learning the seerah of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And it is us that we have to take lesson from the seerah of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and implement in our life. That is the main purpose of this program. Respected viewers, let's include one segment that is chosen facts. We'll come back after that to continue this topic. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu.
Respected viewers of Madani Channel, the first question is, where does our soul go when we sleep at night? The answer is, when a person sleeps in a state of wudu, his soul is taken to the arsh. Subhanallah, subhanallah. What a beautiful madani pool we learned from today. This is a segment, chosen facts. So we should sleep in the state of wudu, inshallah, our soul will go to arsh. Allahu Akbar. Second question is, at the time of resurrection on the day of judgment, and who will Allah Azza wa Jal resurrect first? Sayyidina Israfil alayhi salam, the angel who will be blowing the trumpet. Subhanallah. And this is the second and the third question today we have got is, what was the age of Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala and at the time of his martyrdom? 56 years, 5 months, and 5 days. That was the age of Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala. And respective viewers of Madani Channel, today we are talking about ibadat of Mustafa. Today we are talking about worship of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallam. Initially, we just talked about salah, which is the coolness of the eyes of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized a lot. Quran has emphasized a lot to offer salah. Today, I would request you, urge you, make your mindset not to miss a single salah in your life. As MashaAllah, Mubalik of Dawat Islami said, it's one of the most important factor should be in our life that we should never miss our salah. Make this intention, inshallah, because salah brings barakah. Salah brings blessing in your sustenance. Salah will be noor for you in your grave. Salah will be noor for you on the bridge of Sirat, inshallah. Salah is key to Jannah. Salah is means to gain the pleasure of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. When you get so many blessings while offering Salah, why should you miss one? Wasim Abbas, before coming towards another form of worship of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, a beautiful point comes in my mind. In this dunya, if any prime minister or maybe any person in a high office, if we get chance to go, to meet him, to see him, right? So what will happen? How happy would we be? And if we get chance twice or thrice, we'll be more happy, isn't it? We would not will to miss that.
Beautiful.
Allahu
point.
Akbar. Whereas Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is King of all the kings.
Indeed.
He is our Lord Azza wa Jal. He is our Rabb Ta'ala who provides us sustenance, who gives us risk. And if we are getting chance to go in the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala 5 times a day, how can one miss to be going or to go in the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala? Subhanallah. Respective viewers of Madani Channel, how beautifully it was said that when I want that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala talks to me, I start reciting Quran. And when I want to talk to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, I start offering salah. This is what we can talk about. But inshallah, another form of worship of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is zakah. Ulama, they've mentioned that zakah was not fard upon anbiya alayhim salam. But as far as sadaqah is concerned, as far as giving in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is concerned, I think there has not been any match of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. There is no comparison whatsoever with the generosity of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, he was javad when it came to giving the path of Allah. What would you say?
SubhanAllah, indeed. And again, giving sadaqah, giving charity, that was Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when it comes to zakah, And you look at the concept of zakat, which was made further upon us through the sadaqah of Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, it is full of benefits from social aspects, from religious aspects, you name it. It is a beautiful concept that Islam brought, that Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to the ummah, and how much benefit it contains for the society, it is unbelievable. The wealth from the wealthy, some portion of it goes to the poor. So the economic cycle of the society runs in a smooth manner, and there's no unrest within the society. As what happens if one class of people, they hoard up all the wealth, and then there's other class who don't even have a single grain to eat, then what happens? Then of course there will be an element of unrest. Robberies will increase, the elite will become oppressive, so on and so forth. So this concept of zakah is a beautiful concept from every perspective when we look at it. And the zakah, this is another fard amongst the pillars of Islam, something which has been made fard upon us. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he sent Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala to Yemen, he alayhi salatu wasalam said to him, they tell them that Allah Almighty made zakah first in their wealth, and it should be taken from the wealthy and given to the fuqara, given to the poor. Ever look at the beautiful concept that zakah has been made first in their wealth, it should be taken from the wealthy and given to the fuqara, given to the poor. And then when we look deeper into it, paying zakah, what does he do? It also perfects one's iman,
subhanallah,
accomplishes one's faith. As the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has stated that the completion of your iman is that you pay zakah of your wealth.
Subhanallah.
The iman,
your iman.
Indeed, iman, faith of a person cannot be perfect without paying zakah.
Subhanallah.
And those who pay zakah, what happens to them? Mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon them.
Subhanallah.
What else do we want? Mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being showered upon you. Your iman, your faith is becoming perfect. What else do we want? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah A'raf that, and my mercy encompasses all things, so I shall soon decree favors for those who fear and pay zakah. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that I shall soon decree favors for those who fear me and who pay zakah. Then we also come to know that it is also a way to success. How is that? It has been stated again in Surah Mu'minun. The translation is, undoubtedly the believers reached their goals, those who humble themselves in their salah. Again, salah is also coming over here. And who do not incline towards vain talk, and who are active in paying zakah. So we come to know again that the financial aspects, of course, they're there. But again, zakah is something which perfects one's faith, which draws one closer in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And without paying due zakah, which is due upon you, upon your wealth, one cannot attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One cannot perfect his iman. Hence, if iman is weak, then the first point comes into play again, where we don't have the same importance for salah. And if we don't have the same importance for salah, then of course, destruction awaits us. So it all interlinks together, that pay zakah, you'll have blessings in your sustenance. Allah Almighty will give you more. Your iman will become perfect. And inshallah azza wa jal, you will become amongst those who become deserving of the favors and bounties of Allah Almighty.
MashaAllah. Wasim Masbi, I would like to just add here, as Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam's generosity, if we talk about, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam did not keep gold or silver at home. He did not keep. Whatever came, he gave to others. SubhanAllah. He distributed in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It is mentioned that even any animals which came in the possession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also gave in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And SubhanAllah, Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam used to remain concerned if any maal was present at the home of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And he would try to give away in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And this is the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam when it comes to give in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He did not keep nothing with him. He gave everything in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But Islam is such a beautiful religion, Wasim al-Basbai. You are an accountant yourself. You know that as living as in any country, and we abide the law of the land, and we pay maybe 20% of VAT, don't we? Right? Sometimes when we give income tax, sometimes that also reaches, depending on the income, to 40%. So sometimes we are ready to pay 40% of the tax, but 2.5% of giving zakah becomes hard upon us. Allah. How shameful it is sometimes for those who do not pay zakah, who do not clean their wealth by paying one of the faraid, which are obligatory upon us, which is one of the pillars of Islam, and we find it hard just 2.5% to give in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And the beauty of Islam is, right, these countries where we live, anywhere in the any part of the world we live, right, they take taxes from us. And those taxes, right, for example, if VAT is there, right, any person, whether he is poor or rich, he has to pay. Mm-hmm. Whether he is capable of even living for himself, he has money or not, but any product he buys, he has to pay that tax for 20% or 17 or whatever the tax in different countries, they pay. But subhanAllah, this is the beauty of Islam. Islam does not demand zakah from the poor. Right? It doesn't ask that the poor will not pay zakah. Who will pay zakah? Who is capable of paying zakah? This is the beauty of Islam. But yet, unfortunately, there are those who do not pay zakah. There are those who have got wealth given by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, but they hold on to that. They do not give the share of the needy, the poor, respective views of Madani Shell. Learning from the seerah of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Whoever is watching, whoever is listening, we would like to give this message across. We would like to invite you, urge you, request you, please follow this obligatory fard. If it is fard upon you, if zakah is fard upon you, 2.5 is nothing. Clean your wealth, right? If there's one glass of water, if just one drop of filth is inside that, it's going to make everything unclean, isn't it?
Indeed.
Filthy, complete glass of water. If 2.5% is mal, it is filth of your mal, you should clean it. Take away and give to the needy so that your maal, your wealth becomes clean, subhanAllah. And this is the beauty of being Islam, that it looks after those who are in need. So they should get their share and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will increase. And those, they give zakah. Alhamdulillah, it is observed. It is seen that every year they pay more zakah. Now every year if their zakah is increasing, it means indirectly their wealth is increasing.
Directly it means.
Yeah, it means their wealth is increasing. And subhanAllah, they are progressing in terms of their business and in terms of their sustenance, subhanAllah. And this is what is seen and observed. So those, they do not pay zakah, as mentioned by Muballigh of Dawat Islami, respective viewers of Madani Channel. We should take heed, we should learn from the seerah of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And remember, tomorrow, the same maal, Allahu Akbar, respective viewers of Madani Channel, those who do not pay zakah, this will become destruction for them. This will come in the form of a snake, Allahu Akbar. And it will say that I'm your maal, I'm your treasure. So, we should be fear. We should have fear of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We should be fearful to go to present in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And we should think for the hereafter too. And we should pay our maal. And alhamdulillah, the best way to give your zakah is to them who are your close relatives. Right? First of all, you should give to them. And then you should also keep your share to give to Dawat-e-Islam. Who is doing a tremendous job, subhanAllah. Few words for this, I would like to ask.
Indeed, Rizwan, alhamdulillah, as you beautifully mentioned, that Dawat-e-Islami also collects zakah. And this is a great service that Dawat-e-Islami is providing to the Muslim Ummah to make them fulfill their obligation which Allah Almighty has made fard upon them. Dawat-e-Islami, alhamdulillah, in the supervision of Islamic scholars, of Muftiyan-e-Karam, they, alhamdulillah, make the zakah of people that people have donated to Dawat-e-Islami, make the right person, deserving person, reach it. So those people who paid their zakah, it can be paid off. And there's a lot of scrutiny which is involved in this. There's, alhamdulillah, a lot of check and balance to ensure that zakah is going to the safe hands, to deserving people. And
it is used according to the teachings of Islam.
According to the teachings of Islam. Because many a times what happens is that if you do not spend your zakah properly to deserving people or misuse it in any other way, which is not allowed in the for zakah, then your zakah can also be wasted. But all these things, alhamdulillah, are looked after by Dawat Islami, and the work Dawat Islami is doing is in front of you.
Mashallah.
Alhamdulillah, when it comes to building masajid, when it comes to teaching children, when it comes to producing ulama, when it comes to producing, alhamdulillah, preachers, when it comes to propagating on digitally, which mashallah, Views of Madani channel watching now, Dawat Islami is at the forefront of propagating, alhamdulillah. So Dawat Islami is there for you to make you fulfill this beautiful obligation of Islam. So alhamdulillah, you do have faith in Dawat Islami, and
pay your zakah, but do mention that this is your zakah, so that it can be used according to the teachings of Islam. Respective viewers of Madani channel, we will go towards a segment that is chosen message. Let's go to that, and we'll come back and continue this topic. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen.
How many hours do you have to sleep? The time of your sleep, write it down, because sleep is very important. All of your routine is linked with this. If you did not sleep well or rest properly, then you'll face problems in your daily routine work. While it is natural, the time you take for eating, write it. In addition to that, you have to note travel time, which is spent to go to work and come back. Write it down. After that, you should note down the time you give to your mobile phone. Mobile time. While I'm trying to mention those activities in your daily routine where you can save your time, the time you're adding, you're sleeping extra, or not getting up even after awaking, you're lying down, okay, I get up. Did you realize that people waste 30 minutes or extra 1 hour on their bed? People waste a lot of time after eating. They keep on sitting there for no reason. Half an hour or good 1 hour is wasted like this. Traffic, because you did not choose the right time. If you are aware of the fact that it's a traffic time, then you can carry out some other works in that particular time. And you can plan your journey accordingly, but this will only be possible if you wish to do so. Otherwise, you might waste hour or two stuck in traffic. Furthermore, also notice how much time you spend on your mobile phone and how much time was wasted in unnecessary and useless gatherings. You will notice 6 or 7 factors in your daily routine life where you can save time. Very important point. You must include time for your salah. That's the actual use of your time. And allow half an hour for each salah. Because you will need that much time in masjid, you would need to make wudu, offer salah, then offer nawafil and make dua. So at least you should allow 30 minutes for each salah. So if you allow 30 minutes of time duration, 5 salah, and you have 5 times daily prayers. And if you allow 30 minutes for each salah, that means 2.5 hours. So nearly 2 or 2.5 hours will be spent for your daily prayers. Still, you will be left with 4 to 6 hours on daily basis. I'm generally speaking, even after eating, sleeping, everything, you'll be left with 4 to 6 hours daily. Those who complain that they don't have time, their problem is that they take unnecessary tasks on their shoulders, number one. And they have unnecessary passion to do everything by themselves. I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll also do that. It also happens at home. If works are divided at home, then you will have so much time left, and you can save a lot of time. And if works outside home are also divided, it'll save time. So every individual has time, as long as the time is used properly. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given us beautiful 24 hours. Division is equal in this matter, whether man or woman, old or young, boy or girl, everyone is given equal time. Double to last 24 hours. So stop wasting this precious time, whatever we are wasting. Use your time in productive works. Your life will be so relaxed that probably you would have so much time to do work, but you wouldn't have work to do in that time. Many Islamic brothers, today we are talking about worship of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Definitely, we cannot cover everything from the seerah of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, but we are just highlighting few of the forms of worship Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam performed and their importance in Islam. We've covered so far Salah and Zakah. Now let's talk about Sawm. Let's talk about fasting of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Rasim Abbas page is mentioned in the books that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam used to fast other than Ramadan. That is obligatory, right? But his habit of fasting was even other than Ramadan. In Sha'ban, Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam used to fast a lot. And it would seem when Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam used to start fasting, it would seem that he would not stop. And when he would stop, then it would seem that he would not fast again. This was the, subhanAllah, practice of fasting in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And further, it is also mentioned that especially 3 days in a month, Ayyam Abiz, 13, 14, 15, these days, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every Islamic month, he alayhi salatu wasalam would fast. And on Monday and Thursday, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam used to fast. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would also do Sawme Wisal, right? Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam used to fast even for many nights and many days, consecutive nights and days. They would not eat. And when Sahaba Ikram alayhi Ridwan, they started copying Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. They started following Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala sallam stopped them. But subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, when Sahaba Ikram alayhi Ridwan, they asked that, ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala sallam, you fast Sawm Wisal, but you do not allow us. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ayyukum mithli, who is like me? Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Wasim bhai, I would like to ask you, as I just mentioned a few points from the seerah of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, especially the form of worship of fasting. In Ramadan, he would fast definitely because it was fard. But other than Ramadan, his passion for fasting, his passion to remain hungry for the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, what lesson is there for us to learn?
Of course, the amount of reward which we find in fasting for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is immense. Protection of faith is there. Being distant from hell. Fasting is a special worship if you want to save yourself from hell. And then there are many other benefits hidden within fasting as well, where, as mentioned earlier, your faith gets protected, you get protection from the hellfire. Then there's also many other evils that ma'adallah people normally perform when not fasting. Then fasting sort of serves as a barrier for them from those sins. As when you're fasting, many people, they do not go near to close to sins. And then apart from these religious benefits that we find in fasting, there are also many worldly benefits as well, many medical benefits as well that we find within fasting. And the digestive system gets better, alhamdulillah. You save money, you save time, and there are many other benefits as well. But again, Rizwan bhai, one question comes over here, that we're talking about the optional fast over here, the voluntary fast. Ma'adallah, there are people today who even miss their first fast without any reason, without any lawful reason. Now, if the doctor tells us not to eat anything because we've been afflicted with a severe disease and we need to refrain from eating for a few days, now what will happen? We will listen to the doctor. We will stop eating. Doctor tells us not to eat a certain diet, a certain food. We listen to him. We refrain from eating whatever the doctor tells us to refrain from. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it fard upon us to fast in the month of Ramadan, then why don't we fast? Then what excuse do we bring up to not fast in the month of Ramadan? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created us. He knows the best what is good for us and what isn't good for us. Now, these are those things through which we can question ourselves and judge the level of our iman. I should do it for myself, you should do it for yourself, everyone should do it for themselves. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us, we don't do that. But when a worldly doctor is telling us, we do it, then this means there is some problem in our faith. We need to strengthen our faith. We need to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to seek those means through which we get protection from the hellfire. And alhamdulillah, fasting is a beautiful tool to attain all this.
Fasting is such a beautiful ibadah, worship. Inshallah, Zubin. We've been told to take last segment in our program. Let's go towards that and come back and talk, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi.
Respective viewers of Madani Channel, the very first wazifa today we've got, whoever recites this word 41 times before going to a ruler or an officer, inshallah, he will become compassionate towards him. What is that? Ya Azizu. Ya Azizu. This is what we have to recite 41 times. And the second wazifa we've got is Ya Jabbaru. Ya Jabbaru. And whoever makes a habit of invoking this word regularly, he will be saved from his own backbiting, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. Respecting viewers of Madani Channel, the time doesn't permit us to carry forward or to talk further on this topic. But at the end, I would like to just say a few words that fasting is such a beautiful ibadah, such a beautiful form of worship that is done only for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Because when you are doing other forms of worship, there is a possibility of ostentation, there is a possibility of show-off, but fasting is such a beautiful ibadah. When you are fasting, unless or until you do not tell others that you're fasting, no one can come to know whether you're fasting or not. So that is the reason. You do it for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. When you're alone, you do not eat. Allah is watching you. You've got this understanding. Because you're doing it for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So this is such a beautiful ibadah. And that's the reason Allah has got its reward for that person who fasts for him. Learning from the seerah of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Learning the ibadat of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We should also take some lesson from this beautiful episode of Al-Mustafa, the chosen one. And let's we all start worshipping the way we should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. That's all for today. We'll be back same time, same channel. Keep watching Madani Channel. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.